teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley, and we are going to have Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince on. We will be talking about the Illini football team, kind of a bye week checkup to see where the season is. At 3-5, it's been quite a disappointment, but we wanted to kind of go through and give a little bit of analysis on where we think they are and what they need to do to close out the season. We'll also talk a little bit of basketball recruiting while we're at it. So if you just want to stick around through this commercial break, we'll be right back. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. And we are back. Got Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince here. We're going to talk a little bit about, I was going to call it a middle of the year, you know, status report, but when you're sitting at 3-5, I guess that's not really a middle of the year when you play 12 games. Brad,
math skills taking over there.
Yes, they are. This week was one of the tougher losses that I remember as an Illini fan, but I also remember 2 points of the game telling people around me that this was probably it. One was the drive that made it 14-7 at the half. I told people around me that this drive would come back to haunt the Illini. And when Johnny Newton got thrown out of the game, I said, it's over. Now, as an Illini fan, we all say that a lot. But
true. But I said that against Maryland, too.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say that those two moments, the impending doom, the foreshadowing of problems, was there. What were your impressions of that game?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I thought Illinois looked like they were going to dominate in the first half. And they go up 14-0. And they had opportunities to make it even bigger. And they could have been up by, 17 or 21-0 as easily. But they weren't. And so, then to allow them to come down the field and score in a minute and a half, again, and this is not new. This isn't a new thing. End of the first half, remember that, was it Kansas? But then it's like they score and think, oh, they're back in the game. And then the other team goes down and scores.
Yep.
And that's very frustrating. And it really takes the heart out of your team. But I will say that I do think the game changed when Johnny Newton, they were still in control of this game when Johnny Newton went out. And it immediately changed everything because he was so dominant on Saturday. It's insane how dominant he was. And so I really think that it's crazy that can be an ejection worthy, if you want to call a penalty, but the fact that that's an ejection is just insane to me. It's football. There's guys running around. We put these big helmets and pads on them and, I get it. You want your safety involved, but you're running as a defensive lineman. Your job is to get to the quarterback, and you get to the quarterback, you put your hands on him. And then when you hit him and your head's bump. And so now it's a targeting penalty and it's 15 yards. So, okay, fine. But it's an ejection. Now he's out to the first half of the next game too, maybe, depending on what happens to that appeal. I'm sure they're going to appeal it, but it's tough. And he is the heart and soul of this defense, which is good and bad. I mean, he's a fantastic player, but it does give you some concern for next year too. I mean, without, because he's definitely not going to be here next year. So, yeah, I think this game was just it's Illinois football in a nutshell over the past 30 years of just finding a way to lose games. And that's what they did. And I think, you know, they do have I will say from a positive standpoint, Mike, I got to say one positive. I thought they were dead in the water after they lost Nebraska and they lost a Purdue Nebraska game. They've actually not played badly the last 2 weeks. They've played fairly. They've played okay. If they'd have played like this against Missouri and Nebraska, they'd have won. Purdue and Nebraska, they would have won one of those games, maybe two.
Right.
But they didn't. And so now here we are, and you're 3-5 instead of being 4-4 or 5-3. And that's a different outlook.
Yep. Yep. Ken, any thoughts after you and I've had a chance to cool off a little bit?
Well, you know, there's always this written rule in, you know, in sports, you know, you give yourself 24 hours to think about it. And I'm still frustrated, but I'm not going to go off like on the limb and say this was the worst loss ever because, you know, one of the statements that Brad mentioned was it's only football. And it stinks to say that. I'm not proud to say that we expect this because we do expect it. And this is probably not going to sit well with people. I think Brett Bielema is the guy for the job. There's things that I don't like. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. There's things that I don't like, but I'm gonna also tell you this. I think he knows what he's doing. And I'm also old enough to know I've seen Illinois football when they couldn't even hike the football. I've seen Illinois football when they could barely stand up and didn't even want to stand on the offensive line, compete against defenders. So to me, yes, this season stinks. A lot of us probably thought they were going to win 7 or 8 games. I know I did. A lot of it was me having the blinders on, thinking about last year, and this year is a different year. I get that, but I'm not ready to throw in the towel. Brad is right. I mean, I think they've gotten better, but I think there are some holes, and I think they're very predictable now. I mean, if I'm, scouting Illinois, there's some things I'm going to tell you. In the fourth quarter, the floodgates are going to open up because that's when they fail. They don't stop. Their 2-minute defense to me is just brutal, and it has been. And I think, everybody's counting Iowa because Iowa can't score 3 points. I guarantee you they're going to find a way to throw the ball against Illinois and score in big chunks, and they have to fix that. The season's not over by any stretch of the imagination. I know fans are upset. The targeting call, here's my take on it. I mean, if by the rule, it's what it was. But what I would like to see done differently, give the 15 yards and be done. That was not malicious at all. You as an official, and you have the chance to use replay that sometimes they put their glasses on and put a bunch of grease on it because they can't see to make the right call, I guess. But you knew that was not malicious. If you want to make a rule to protect the kids, I'm all for it. But first of all, I don't even think it was a roughing the passer. He just got hit, and that was a bad mistake on Wisconsin's part. So now Newton is going to be punished, and knowing how they do the Illinois, I would be very surprised if they overrule it because, there was some contact. But to sit out another game, that's crazy.
Yeah, I just get frustrated just from the fact that I'm not certain what Johnny Newton could have done any different. It's not his fault that he was in the backfield and a snap of a fingers, and that's a Wisconsin offensive line issue and a Wisconsin quarterback awareness issue. Unfortunately, when the head kind of dipped down the way the refs call it, you're kind of screwed at that point. And I knew what was going to happen the second I saw that helmet go down. I was like, oh great. Not only is he going to get called for roughing the passer, but we're going to see him exit the game. And it just seemed too easy. Now, again, I with the bang bang nature of that play, I'm not certain what he could have done differently. So as we talk about this football season, you look at the offense, in the Big Ten, it's been good on yards, bad on points. Where do you put this offense, Brad? You've been up in the press box. You've watched, the games on television as well. Where does this offense go in terms of what your expectations were and what needs to be improved?
Well, the offensive line's not good enough. That's the first thing. I don't like the way they run things in certain situations. I don't like their short yardage, and I don't like their offensive line. And that's basically what it comes down to me. I think everything else, they've had some key drops. I mean, I even looked at the Wisconsin game the other day in the first half. Remember that one of the first early drives, and Bryant had like a, you know, it was like a 20-yard pass, and it hit him right in the hands. I mean, just easy catch. They makes 99 times out of 100, but he didn't make it there, and then they, you know, end up punting. So these are kind of things that it's little things that are difference between winning and losing at this level. And our offensive line is the only offensive line isn't good enough to overcome that stuff. And you're basically banking on it. I love Caden Fagan. I think he's fantastic. Yeah. He's a freshman. He's 18 years old. I mean, I don't know, playing against guys who are 23 in many cases. So this is not the same thing. And so it's very hard to like bank on him because you've had so many injuries and so many guys out. And so I think it's tough. And I just feel like if the offensive line was better, you would see a team that would be better, but they have to get better in short yardage situations. I mean, third and one, most of the time, you know, I look at Philadelphia Eagles, right? They third and one, man, fourth and one, it's automatic. They make it almost every time. Illinois gets third and one, fourth and one. It's like, oh crap. They're probably better off being like fourth and three or third and three because they will actually run some sort of offense instead of like trying to run it up the gut to an offensive line that clearly can't move people. I mean, it just hasn't happened. So I don't know why we're shocked, but we keep doing the same thing over and over and over. And, you know, one of the touchdowns the other day was a play action, right? That was cool, right?
Yeah.
We could maybe do that more often. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to tell you, since we're on the offense, number one, I think they struggled early on. I think the last couple of weeks, I think they've been better. I know, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, of the Hulk Hogan, you know, the Hulk back to, excuse me, you know, Mr. Fagan. But, I mean, honestly, Luke hasn't, you know, been on his butt as much. I think they've done a much better job of trying to protect him. You know, do I give them an A+? Oh, heck no. Because right now they were at a D-, and right now they're probably at a C+ at best. But that's improvement for me. I'm going to tell you, and I know, you know, all three of us have coached at multiple different levels, and this is probably going to be kind of controversial. Last year, everybody was mad because Illinois never went for it. 2 years ago, they were never go for it on third and short. And everybody was mad because the offense was boring because most Division I programs do it. And I was one of those people. But I'm going to tell you right now, from what I've seen and what Brad said, and I know people are like this, I'd rather see them punt the ball. I saw in that press box Saturday, and I know I made my colleague Matt Stevens mad because, and even another guy I used to work for, I said before the ball, they're going to wrap the middle. Your line's not good enough for that. Now, I know that. And I'm getting old and I can barely see. If I know they're going to do that, I know damn well Wisconsin knew it. And if you're going to do that, I'd rather them punt the ball and play defense because they are not. I don't know what the percentages were, but I know at least three or four times they ran straight up the middle. And I know Kevin Fagan is a stud running back, but you are not doing that against anyone. It could be the worst team in the Big Ten, especially if they know it's coming. That you have to change. You're predictable, and you left points on the board because you know what's coming. And I know it's Big Ten football. I know it's this written rule, beat them of football. That's great, but you can't be predictable, and that's what they have become. You know, another thing, I'm really disappointed because they don't have receivers that are on the field that they feel comfortable with that they can get separation. Isaiah Williams is as fast as anybody in the conference, but he's 5'11", and that's stretching because I don't think he's 5'11". And if you can't throw the ball down the field, and if you can't score 25, 30 points a game, you're not beating anybody. So we can quit pretending that it's going to happen. You got to score some points. The defense, yes, they're not what they were last year, but quit putting them in a position. You got to outscore 18-0 in the fourth quarter. That shouldn't happen. I'm sorry. I just don't. Not with – if Barry Loney Jr. is this offensive genius and he is going to make changes, you other teams do it. So there's no reason Illinois can't.
So we look at the defense this year, You know, on the offensive line has been very disappointing. The defense has went from, you know, the tops in the nation to the bottom of the Big Ten. I have personally thought that the defensive backs have been about as good as you can expect when you have almost no experience and you bring a group of guys, you know, up and you play them and you don't have much pass rush. So they're forced to guard people for extended periods of time, you know, 5, 6, 7 seconds. But I have been disappointed in the pass rush outside of a certain number four. And I've also been very disappointed in the amount of in the play of the linebacking core, both putting pressure on the quarterback and being able to defend backs, tight ends coming out of the, you know, in passing plays. Brad, where are you at with that defense?
Well, I think Johnny Newton's been great. You know, yeah. He gets the quarterback. He draws double and triple teams. But at the same time, we've got guys like, I expected more from Keith Randolph. I expected this year. I expected more from Gabe Akkas. I expected more from Seth Combs. All these guys, I mean, and I expected more from the linebackers overall. I just don't feel like they've gotten the production that we expected. When you're replacing so many guys in the secondary who were like, I mean, obviously 3 NFL draft picks were in that secondary last year. And so you're replacing those guys, and so you needed the other guys to step up to make it a defense. And obviously you weren't going to be as good as you were last year, but you could be really – you could still have a good defense. I still think they could. But we're also seeing the depth issues that they have. When you don't have time to build recruiting classes year after year after year, you don't have depth. And so we're seeing, like, a lot of young guys have to play. Because those last couple of years, I mean, Lovie Smith brought in some really good players, you know, obviously drafted in the NFL, guys that were good. He found some good diamonds in the rough, et cetera. But then those last couple classes, especially that last class, they didn't because, you know, yeah. They'd kind of gone downhill. And now you're paying the piper now when you have injuries. You don't have the same depth. And the guys that you're putting in there are like freshmen. I don't think the secondary has been that bad. I think the secondary struggle has been because they don't get any pass rush. And so it makes it harder for them. And then you have, you know, if you, they don't have great speed at linebacker. So that makes it difficult as well. So anyway.
Well, you know, Brad has changed my mind, which I'm kind of glad to hear. I think you're right. We've all seen the pass rush. I'm saying when you watch the games, you know, and I truthfully, I'm not going to say any names with this. I don't think it's from lack of trying to get to the quarterback. I just don't know if they're good enough to do it. I really don't, as a group. You know, yeah, we all know how Mr. Newton is. I'll be sitting in the press box and there's 20, 30 scouts every game watching him. But they can't do it. I mean, the other team's offensive lines are so much better physically. And, you know, and we've all talked about, you know, the line play. But the bottom line is, to me, from a defensive standpoint, you lose Matthew Bailey. You know, he was a vocal guy. You know, he's a guy that's not back there that I knew they were counting on. But on the flip side of that, you lose Newton, you don't have anybody come in and replace him. You lose Matthew Bailey, you don't have the same kind of quality guy to come in and replace him. And what's hard about that, Illinois fans, is because they've been bad for so long, it's a hard sell to tell a kid to come in to sit at Illinois when you struggle for so long. You know, you can just say, hey, you can go to Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, and, oh, yeah, you know, that's expected. You know, I know we're talking defense. I look at this quarterback, Trey Petty, out of Mississippi, Starksville, Mississippi, he's committed to Illinois, and there's guys ahead of him, and I don't know how in the hell Illinois is doing it, but they're convincing this kid to stay on. It's hard when you're not winning like that. And so the depth is an issue. To me, if they're not going to use the transfer portal, and this is for a different day, another time, get to the junior college and get some kids with some size and go find them. And you cannot live. I'm all into, you know, finding gems and things like that. But you're not going to survive in the Big Ten defensively or offensively unless you go out and get some studs, because we see what's happening right now. And when you bring in the fellas from out west, it's going to be a different animal because they're going to recruit out west and then they're going to come into the Midwest and to the East and take players. So the recruiting has to get better and they have to develop all the talent that they have. Otherwise, this is going to be a long haul for them. I do think this is a staff that can do it. I do believe that. I wasn't sold on Lovie Smith after a couple of years, but this staff will work and they will go get kids. But if they cannot find talent, this is going to happen to them. You'll have one good year in the down year, one good year in the back year. And Mike and Brad, we've all seen that.
Well, that's the question, I guess, is we've heard, Illini fans are back to the, there's a segment who are back saying, get us a new football coach. I find that a little crazy. One, the buyout is exorbitant, but the other thing is, at some point, I still believe Bielma is the first competent football coach we've had, all-around football coach since Makovic. And I think you got to give him at least a chance to get through the recruiting cycle, and here's why. His whole system is based on getting big guys, redshirting the line for a year, and then sitting them for 1 or 2 years, and then having these redshirt sophomores and juniors walk out there, massive dudes, and then you run the offense behind them. Well, that means next year, technically, is when you start seeing his system kind of bear fruit. Excuse me. So to get rid of him before that seems a little bit unfair based on what you knew you were getting when you signed up for Brett Bielma. Now, I don't know, you guys have been covering Illinois sports forever. You've been through more calls for new football coaches than most people have. What are your thoughts on this time for Bielma to go that you're hearing from a small but loud part of the Illini fan base?
Me or Brad, yeah. Who's going?
Yeah, go ahead, Bradley. I think it's way too early to think about getting rid of Brett Bielema at this point. Everybody's frustrated with the way these have gone, but here's the reality. Illinois has 4 games left. Every one of those games is winnable. When you look at Iowa's quarterback being out, Minnesota's not very good. Indiana's not good. Northwestern's not good. I'm not saying Illinois is good, but all 4 of those games are games that I would go into as a coach thinking we can win this game. And I'm sure Brett Bielema feels that way too. Now, what if they win those 4 games? I mean, and they finish 7-5. Do you fire him then? That's why you can't make these kind of decisions in the middle of the season. Now, if they lose those 4 games and it's 3-9, I would kind of understand people being upset. Now, I don't think it would be time to fire him, but I get why you'd be really, upset with the kind of giving it away. But if they finish 5-7 in the third year, that would mean Bielema went 5-7, 8-5, and 5-7 in a program that literally has, just stunk for 30 years.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not trying to, but now if you go 6-6 or better, then this is exactly what Illinois fans wanted. They want someone who can get them into a bowl game year after year after year. And that would be the case then.
Well, he is one of the best all-around coaches that they've had. I mean, again, some of the things I question about being aggressive and, trying to score more points, and that's just an opinion for me. But you cannot fire this guy. Here's Mike, you guys pay me to do this, which I love. When I talk to these recruits, I've done it under multiple different staffs. I sat there, and I'm going to go back to Trey Petty. This kid is being hounded daily by not just Mississippi State, stay home, other schools that he didn't want to mention to me that are calling him. And one of the things that you can read on Illini, guys, is the kid said to me, it's Coach B. I mean, this guy is remarkable. He can sell, and he's truthful and honest with them. This is why I want to see him succeed, because he is really passionate. When Brad Underwood got the basketball job, he told everybody this was his dream job. When you get a coach who buys in and buys into your city and buys into the orange and blue, and you know what? They're not going to win 11 games every year. You know what? And I would love to see them win the next 4 games. I wouldn't bet my house on it because they haven't won back-to-back games since last year. So I don't know if that's going to happen. And like I said to you, all those teams on that schedule are beatable, but I thought Nebraska was beatable too. People, my honest opinion, and no one really asked, but I'm going to give it. I was more upset about the Nebraska loss than I was last Saturday. I'm sorry, I was. I think Nebraska is not a good football team. I'll be politically correct here. They're not very good to me. And that loss stunk to me. To Purdue, yeah, because of Coach Walters, but it was a road game. So firing him right now it will make no sense. And that's just a knee-jerk reaction because people are mad. They're frustrated. They're upset. You know, and I get it. You know, we were all a little bit upset. You know, fans, I'm going to tell you, if you have access to YouTube, go listen to last week's press conference. You think you're mad. They're the ones in there recruiting and scouting and doing everything they can to win games. And I'm going to tell you, you can hear, and Brett was professional about it, he's frustrated. He's very, very frustrated because he didn't sign up to come to lose games in Illinois. He came here to win championships, and he's trying to do that.
Well, I got a few things there to throw at you. I agree with you on the Nebraska thing, because Nebraska's a horrible football team, and to lose that game, Brett Bielema had to be like, oh my God, what just happened here? When you talk about trying to coach college kids, we watched the Washington Huskies go out and play one of the best games of the year against Oregon. And then last week against Arizona State, a team with one team, I think Washington scored, didn't they score less points than Iowa? So you never know what's going to happen with college kids. Correct. And the funny thing was Ohio State versus Penn State, that was Bielema ball from both teams, except one of the teams had Marvin Harrison Jr. If Ohio State hadn't had Marvin Harrison Jr., it would have been Bielema ball from two of the top 10 teams in the country. So I'm not certain, you know, where you really go from that. So final question as we round in to start talking about basketball after this. Brad, what, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, we're going to say that Brad Sturdy now is the 500th member of the football staff. You're the football consultant that Brett Bielema leans on. What are you telling him are the three things he needs to do to get ready here for the end of the season? You got four games left. What do they need to do to shore this up?
For this year, I think the biggest thing they need to do is they need to become, one, they got to get healthy before they go into this last four-week stretch. So having a bye week right now is good. Two, I think the next thing they need to do is they need to start using their they got to get their offensive line more continuity. It has to be better in the sense that if it means you got to play young guys, now they've now had multiple games, eight games of a season, and workouts and practices, and they should be ready to go in and give you some time. And then so I think you got to do that with the offensive line. The third thing is I think they really need to start using, and I thought they did some really good things. I think they need to do a better job of using some misdirection type action, and not just to Isaiah Williams on a reverse. I mean, just like counteractions with the running backs, counteractions. I think you see it's so effective when Luke fakes the handoff and runs. I mean, how often does that happen? It seems like it's so effective in that read, like kind of almost like read option. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things they can do offensively can do that. Now, if you want long-term solutions,
sure.
I'm expecting that Rochester is about to win another state title this year. They've running clocked basically everybody. Derek Leonard should be on this staff somewhere at offense. I'm just saying they need to find a way and pay that
guy. Now zone him into the offensive coordinator position.
I mean, seriously, I mean, nobody does what he does. He's won like this. If they win this year, it'd be like nine state titles in like 13 years or something like that. It's just insane what they've done.
And he's not a Catholic school that can recruit.
No. And he's done it against a Catholic school that can recruit. And last year they probably would have won the state title, but they lost to SHG, who won the state title. Right. Look at their when they lose to the team that ends up winning. Right. So it's insane. So that's my long-term solution. Get him in there on the offensive staff.
Okay, Ked, give us your three fixes for this year and and your one long term?
Well, since we're on the coaching staff now for the next 2 minutes that I say this, the offense, I don't want to see anybody lose their job. I'm not a fan of that, but I'm going to tell you, it's bland. It's bland. It's predictable. When I sit and I watch other teams spread Illinois out and then they have imagination on offense, the first thing comes to my mind is, why can't they do that? What I would do is, I mean, I know they have meetings, and I'm not stupid enough to know that they don't. Barry Lunny, to me, or whether it's Brett Bielema or whoever is really in charge, I think they really need to meet with an offensive consultant and watch the games through the whole summer and show what they could have done and what they should have done in situations. There's, you know, the offense is so bland. People were tweeting during the game asking if those runs were Luke were planned or were they just him running for his life. That shouldn't be. I mean, it really shouldn't, because I didn't have an answer, because I don't know. I don't know if it was. Well, a couple of times you could. But point being, long-term, again, look at the scheme of college football today. Good teams are going to score 30 points a game. Illinois is averaging about 19.5 or something like that. That's not going to get it done. My long-term solution, you have to recruit and get kids on campus. Josh Whitman has done a remarkable job of remodeling that whole university, from baseball, softball, to men's basketball, women's basketball. The football has been renovated. There's no excuses. You got TV contracts. You're in the Big Ten. Get some kids on campus and get some high-profile athletes, because that's what it's going to take to win games long-term, and turn that into depth. You're not going to compete when you go on the road to Iowa, because I'm going to tell you, I'm scared. That is the most physical football team Illinois is going to face all year. And I'm going to tell you, injuries are probably going to happen during that game.
Okay. And
Iowa sucks, kid.
Well, their offense does.
I'm telling you. Okay. You know what? Hey, I live 50 miles from that place, and I'm going to tell you, I guarantee it, they're going to put some points. They'll find a way to score against Illinois, because I don't think Nebraska can score either, but they find a way to do it against Illinois.
Problem, and the thing that scares me about them is I just worry Luke Altmaier is going to take too many shots against that team.
Because that's what I meant. And I think there's a possibility of him getting hurt because of how physical they are. I mean, they let a redshirt freshman quarterback in this full game come down there last weekend and just torched them. Now, granted, he was good, and he was a Division I player from Mississippi State. I understand that. But offensively, they let teams just have great days because it's Illinois. And until I see differently, that's just going to be my thought. And I know Iowa's bad, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think it'll be 9-6 this year. I don't even know if we'll even get to that.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be tough. I'll tell you, the interesting thing for me is short-term fix. I think they've just got to figure out how you get more guys, you know, in and out of the game to prevent the fourth quarter meltdowns. And I do think you have to find a way, like Brad said, to do some misdirection. Heck, if you want to go back to the olden days, run some cross buck, you know, I mean, yeah. I mean, you can almost go to the past to do some, you know, a little bit of that action in the backfield. You're confused the heck out of everybody. But for the future, I'll tell you what they need to do. They need to go find NIL donors, and they need to raise some money, because you need to get two, probably three defensive linemen. And that is the second most valuable commodity in the portal behind quarterbacks. Interior defensive linemen are gold. The SEC has won national titles because they get guys. You can't run up the middle against the SEC defenses, which means they can use speed all over the field. And they have two guys who just dominate the middle, and that becomes a zone that nothing happens, and a quarterback can't step up to throw. You need to figure out, you know, you need to find some, you know, four or five star who's sitting on the bench at Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama. You pick the better school, get them to come to Illinois, but it's going to cost you some money. I hate to say it, but you got to figure out some kid at a lower level who can –
That's college football. That's why if we're going to, you want to compete at the big time college football, you have to do these things.
I agree.
It's just that simple.
And it's legal.
You either want to compete. It's not, you're not cheating.
I know it's legal.
You're doing
it's
the totally same thing legal. Everybody else is doing now.
Yeah.
It used to be cheating. So I get it. I can understand some altruistic view. Like, you know what? We don't get caught or this. Now it's not cheating. So just go do it.
And I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. And I do not understand why a kid can't see JJ Watt and go, I'd like to go play with Brett Bielema because I want to be the next JJ Watt. Not that hard, you know, or you can combine.
Can I say that? I want to be the next JJ. I think I'm.
Yeah. You're not. I said time. kid.
Oh yeah.
But the other thing is, you know, and again, Weatherspoon, the number one rated PFF cornerback in the league as a rookie.
Yeah. Now, he's insane. So good.
Now, 2 years under Bielema, and I'm not saying, you know, you got to have the talent to be that good. There's no doubt. But you can't tell me that the coaching he got the last 2 years isn't a part of what he's doing today.
No question.
And, you know, look at Kirby Joseph. Look, you know, you can pile that on. And the defensive backs are stellar. You know, they just got to get some experience. They've got some guys. I just am amazed that defensive linemen don't look at that and say, you know, I'd like to be a part of it. But
well, they should now. Maybe I want to be the next Johnny Newton.
Exactly correct. Because my goodness, you know, he's already
fantastic. He's an all-American defensive lineman. He's going to be a first-round draft pick.
Well, and think about it too, because you look at the stud from Ohio State, which I'm blanking on his name now, JT. But he's got guys all over the defense who are 4 and 5 stars that people have to block. Not so for Johnny Newton. You know, hey, I love Bryce Barnes. I coached him, you know, for my AAU basketball team. But I don't remember him being a 4 or 5 star football player at Gibson City. He did
basketball.
Yes. Yeah, I coached him for basketball. Yeah, and he was, and trust me, he was a great athlete, won 2 state titles at Gibson City. Was fantastic. But, you know, what Johnny Newton is doing is incredible. And I just, I'm a little bit like, you know, trying to figure out Illinois's got to crack the code. And to me, it must come to NIL. But hey, I'm not out there every day, but as a former VP of sales, there's got to be something. You got to analyze your sales pitch. This is the funny part is these coaches, they know how to do football. They need to bring in some sales guys to come in and analyze what they're doing, try to figure out where the gaps are, because you wouldn't want me coaching your football team. And I don't know if you'd want a lot of coaches coaching your sales team. It's just the way it is. All right. So now let's pivot, take a little pivot, and let's talk about Illini basketball. So Brad, it was a big, big weekend for recruiting last weekend. So is there any little niblets of information that you might want to share with anybody that you got over the weekend? Or first off, maybe can you tell anybody who was here?
Well, I mean, Jeremiah Fears and Alex Alston, two of the, you know, top 20, 25 players in the country. Alston is a 6'9 kid who can shoot it really well, lefty. Needs to get a little stronger, but he's long, he's fluid, he can shoot it. He's very, very good player. And Jeremiah Fears, we've talked about, I don't know how many times we talked about him, like 1,000. We talked about Jeremy before, and now we're talking about Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is a kid who is a really good 2025 guard. He can play the point, he can play off the ball, he's got good size, he's 6'3". Just a top 50. And he may be higher. I mean, I could see him moving in the top 30. I think he's outplayed some guys who are ranked higher than him. So, I, you know, these are really good players. And Illinois has a great shot at them if they, you know, if they can, you know, get it done here. And now it's kind of that finishing time and finding a way to close on a guy like Jeremiah Fears and start that 2025 class off right. And they've got a bunch of kids in that 2025 class they are in deep with who are very, very good.
I'll tell you what, I had a chance to talk to Alex on the football field Saturday because he was on an unofficial visit where Jeremiah was on an official visit. But you can still talk to him now. The rules have changed. But one of the things I noticed last Saturday with Alex was he was with Terrence Shannon, and Terrence was doing all he could to try to make him understand, you know, what it means to play for Illinois. And, you know, he enjoyed his time at Texas Tech, but, you know, Illinois is a special place. And one of the cool things I really liked hearing Terrence say to the kid was, hey, you know what, these people love their sports. They're really very, very passionate. You know, you come here, you're a homestead kid, they're never going to forget you. So that was from Terrence, but, you know, talking to him, that was huge. I mean, he really likes Coach Anderson, thinks Coach Anderson's a funny guy, something the fans may not see. You know, his comment to me was, everybody who plays basketball in Chicago, regardless if you're, I think he mentioned 3 years old or 78, you know Tim Anderson. So, which is a good sign because, you know, there's a connection with him. You know, so I saw him play this summer up in Riverside. I mean, he is a really, really good athlete. I mean, he is a special player. He's long. He can do a lot of different things. And I know Illinois has been in on him a lot. We haven't talked about him a lot, but I know that's a kid that they really want. Brad mentioned the fear situation. I do think Illinois is in a good spot with him, but people can expect to see more visits. There'll be other visits to other schools. I want to put this out there because I think this goes kudos to Coach Underwood for people who are critical about him and his recruiting. I did talk to the family today, and one of the things the family said to me, now Brad Sturdy, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've never seen it. Both parents are really sold on Illinois. You know, they like it, but at the end of the day, it's going to be up to Coach Underwood. But Jeremy Fear Sr. told me today that during the game Saturday, Brad Underwood literally walked up to them during the game to have a conversation with them. That was a home run to them because Brad is really sold. He has really bought in with Fears, and that was important because I've not seen it. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach do it anywhere, not just Brad Underwood. So that resonated with them, and I think the mom was just, you know, giggly-eyed because, you know, they're going to take care of her son if the kid commits to Illinois. And Brad, you know, being the head coach, some, you know, all coaches are involved, but when you get your head coach to give you that much attention, and Brad did the whole weekend, I mean, they really did a good job with it.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And, of course, there's some team from Kansas, I don't know if they have much of a program down there, that's coming to town to raise money for Maui on the 29th, so that's next Sunday. I think there are good tickets available, and you can purchase them at the State Farm Center. And, Brad, I believe they're ranked number one in the country. Any chance that that the two of you will be at the game to watch this exhibition to raise money for the good folks of Maui to recover from the fire?
Yeah, we'll be there, obviously. I think the good thing now, some of the tickets have been reduced to $40, so you can get there much cheaper, more reasonably for this benefit. And I think it's an opportunity to see two top 25 teams, one of the number one team in the country preseason, against an Illinois team that they look very good. I mean, they're veteran, they're old. They've still got some kinks to work out, you know, but it'll be fun to watch Illinois against a Kansas team that is, you know, so talented and so good, because I think it'll tell us a little bit about Illinois playing against athletes that are similar to them or as athletic as them. And I think we're going to learn a lot. And I'm not saying that the win or lose matters necessarily. It's an exhibition, but I think how they play will tell you something. And I think that's what I'm looking for. How do they compete? How do they play? How do they match up with a Kansas team? And you will see weird situations in this game. I'm telling you right now, you will see them play some zone. You know, maybe Kansas might play some zone, Illinois might play some zone for a few minutes just to do that. So we'll see what happens, but it'll be fun. Definitely a lot of fun.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the first thing that I want to say about this, I think, you know, unless my memory, you know, is going bad, this is one of the best teams that's ever been in State Farm next to Wake Forest. I mean, typically Illinois would play with someone of this caliber that's going to be on a neutral site in Chicago or something like that. So getting Kansas, even though it's an exhibition game, getting them in the State Farm Center is huge. Also with Bill Self, you know, I was at the football game Saturday going into the elevator. A lot of people, I think they're over the Bill Self thing. I think they understood why he did what he did. And I think he put Illinois in a good situation when he was here. He was wonderful, I think. And I, from it looks, everything on the outside, Coach Underwood and Bill Self, they're very good friends. That's why I think this is probably happening. From a basketball standpoint, yes, the competition was not on par with Illinois. But the game, you know, you still got to make shots. And that's probably the one thing that impressed me Saturday. I think Illinois is vastly underrated. I do have one huge concern, you know, which you didn't ask about. And if you don't ask, I'm going to keep right on, you know, keep on moving. But I was impressed with them. The biggest thing is they're old and they play old. They look like kids who know what they're doing and kids who have played the game of basketball. Just little things that freshmen tend to make and sophomores. This group didn't do that. So, I mean, and I know when the competition, you know, amps up, you know, it's going to be different. But if they run offense good, you still got to make shots and things like that. So I was impressed. And I do think Illinois, if they can stay healthy, and Brad did not put a lot in, you know, last, you know, Friday night, you can see some of the same basic stuff that they run against other teams. So I'm kind of curious to see what they look on off do offense, and really curious to see how he gets plays drawn up for Marcus Domask, who I was just in awe with last Saturday, Friday night. So, but anyway, I think this team is a little bit better than their 25th ranking spot.
Well, it should be a ton of fun. And now I feel obligated to ask you what you're worried about.
Well, here comes the podcast. And Brad, don't get mad at me. I'm concerned about the point guard position. This has nothing to do with Ty Rogers, because if you ask me who my favorite player on the team is, probably next to Coleman Hawkins, because that's a family friend, I would probably say it's Ty Rogers, because he is the most classiest professional kid I've been around in a long time. I just worry. I don't even care the fact that he only had 3 points or 2 points, whatever the case may be. If I'm a team playing him and what I saw, I'm pressuring him full court, man to man, to make him prove to me he can bring the ball to the court. I have to see it, because if I had a sincere Harris, I would hound him. Yes, it's easy to bring the ball to the court and then you run an offense. I think all three of us could probably do that. But to run a team, to do that, and then also the free throws. I mean, I know I put a video up on our board where, you know, that, and it could have been just one game. It's not time to panic and, you know, jump off the bridge. I'm not saying that. But I just don't know. I think he will be more beneficial if he was at a three spot, because he's a slasher. I mean, he's not a great shooter. At least we haven't seen it. But that point guard spot concerns me, because I think teams are going to eventually, we know in the Big Ten, they're going to make you pay. Anything that you can't do well, I don't care who it is, they're going to take you out of it. And to me, pressuring him, he just didn't look comfortable doing it for me. That's just my opinion.
Well, it'll be fun to see. Brad, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think obviously point guard's an issue. I think what you're going to see, I think you saw the other night that Ty Rogers isn't really the point guard. That's just in name only. The point guard, the guy they're going to play through is Marcus Domask. And so we can say that Ty Rogers dribbles the ball up the floor, but Marcus Domask is the guy they're going to play through in the half court when he's on the court.
I agree.
And some people didn't like him. I loved what Nico Moretti did. He missed some shots, but I really like the way he plays the game. And he just plays the right way. And I'm telling you, at the end of games, it would not shock me to see him on the floor, because he can make free throws and he knows how he gets the ball in the hands of the right guy. And it would not shock me to see that. Now, what will alleviate some of that concern is the fact that you have Domask that you can play through. So you can play a guy to get the ball up to him and then have him playing off, and then Shannon and those guys playing off each other, and you can do some really good things. So I do like their lineup, though. When they play, and I think Dane Danger is going to play. I think he's going to be very good. I like the way he does. I like what Amani Hansberry does. But I love when they have the floor spacing, and then they have like Hawkins and Greer with like Shannon and Domask. I love that grouping, because I really think that that's a good fit. So, and I think Goody fits better with Danger, because then he provides more spacing in that group. So, hey, there's my thoughts.
Yeah, and look, I was just, as we were talking, you know, Simeon Barrow, now defensive end, you know, edge player for Michigan State, is, you know, he's hitting the transfer portal. just announced it a few hours ago. So already, you know, we've heard rumors that as few as 10, as many as 20 of Michigan State's team will hit the transfer portal. So there's some opportunities to get some D linemen there. So that's becoming reality. It sounds like, you know, when you look at, you know, college football, there might be a stallion, assistant coach by the last name of Stallion from Michigan, who might be available. Sounds like because he bought some tickets across the Big Ten. So there'll be numerous ways to upgrade your program. And it's kind of funny.
It's legal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know exactly. So there's a ton of things going on in the Big Ten. And of course, not only can you keep up with the things going on, all things Illini, but you can actually listen to our radio show, Big Sports Radio, which is a Big Ten show, and keep up on all things Big Ten as well. So with that, gentlemen, do you guys have any final thoughts before we say goodbye to the fans?
Don't lose hope. It's going to be, I'm telling you, sometimes it's a long rebuild and it's not always linear in football. Sometimes it's up and down. And I know it's tough to hear that, but let the season play out and see what happens. On the basketball side, don't lose hope early in the season if they lose some games, because they have a rough schedule, you know, with multiple top 10 teams, possibly three of them, right? And plus Kansas. So four of the top 10 teams. I think they play seven games against top 10 opponents during the season.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
It's a tough schedule. They're going to lose some games. But at the end of the day, I think they're going to be battle tested, ready for the NCAA.
That's like Michigan State with Izzo back in their heyday. They would play those type of schedules and then go to Final Fours.
Well, my thing real quick, just brief with football, get better, show fans that you're getting better, compete, you know, be competitive. Don't go out and continue to lose games the way Illinois fans expect them to lose games, and recruit. I'm going to go to bed thinking the word recruit, because that's going to help get them over the hump. This is a good coaching staff. Basketball, I was surprised. I'm really the depth. And the one guy, we all like Domas, like I mentioned, but Harmon to me is just solid. That's another guy that nobody talks about. And I think that guy could be the X factor. I love what I saw last week. And you know what, Mike, you just hit the nail on the head. Tom Izzo always played everybody under the sun, but in the end, when they counted, I mean, he didn't get punished for it, but his team was prepared. So maybe that's what Underwood's doing. He's putting his team together so he can finally get over the hump in March.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So, folks, we will be back later this week with a similar podcast where we talk about the football team, give you kind of an assessment where they're at in the season with Matt Stevens and Steve Sturm. Make sure you subscribe to the full family of Illini Guys podcasts, starting out with Eye on the Illini. That's where you can listen to myself, Brad, Ked, Matt, and others talk about the recent Illini events that are in the news. Sturdy for 30 is Brad's award-winning podcast where you can hear 20 years of people that he's made contact with to talk about all things Illini, and Ked's Recruiting Roundup where he talks to players, coaches, and parents about what it's like to be recruited. Make sure you subscribe to all of those so you're always in the know. Thanks so much to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for coming on the show tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. We got some football in. We got some basketball in. Had a lot of fun. And, of course, we'll be back in a couple nights with Steve Sturm and Matt Stevens. Should be another interesting podcast. And, of course, you've got Big Sports Radio, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on the weekend. Please get those. Or, of course, you can download those off of your podcast purveyor as well. Take care, folks, and go Illini.